crushing weight of all our shame, you took upon your mortal frame. You left your throne so you'd become a ransom for the fallen one. Oh, sweet exchange by God ordained. Our death you died, your life we gained. Our worthless rags of wickedness, now traded for your righteousness. We sing your praise and we proclaim such wondrous love, O sweet exchange. No precious jewels, no priceless gold could pay the price to save one soul. Yet by the grace that you provide, we're now declared justified. Oh, sweet exchange by God ordained. Our death you died, your life we gained. Our worthless rags of wickedness, now traded for your righteousness. We sing your praise and we proclaim such wondrous love, O sweet exchange. Your holy life spilled out for such unholy ones. No longer orphans, we're daughters and we're sons. Oh, what a marvel, what great mystery. You offered your riches for our poverty. Oh, sweet exchange by God ordained. Our death you died, your life we gained. Oh, sweet exchange by God ordained. Our death you died, your life we gained. Our worthless rags of wickedness, now traded for your righteousness. We sing your praise and we proclaim such wondrous love, O sweet exchange. Such wondrous love, O sweet exchange.
Man, take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Well, I always appreciate hearing good testimonies, hearing what God's doing in your life. It excites me as a pastor. In fact, I think that probably, I've been told this, that probably the thing that excites me the most is seeing Christians grow in their walk with the Lord. That excites me. I get really excited about that, more so than anything else. You know, I just love seeing and hearing from you what God's doing in your life and how God's working. It's a blessing that God answers prayer, isn't it? And to know that God's taking care of his people. And I love hearing that. I love reading the Bible, reading the stories about how God took care of his people. I always love the stories when, like, you know, when it looks like God's people are defeated and then God will send down hailstones from heaven. I like that, you know. You know, that's great. God sends down hailstones and kind of wipes out the enemies. I love that. I love that when Israel was, you know, they got to the crossing of the Red Sea and how that it looked like that everything was going to just go dark. Then all of a sudden, God had another plan, a bigger plan. I'm always glad that God has a bigger plan for his people. And I want to encourage you with that tonight. Can we stand for the reading of God's Word? I know you've been sitting just a little bit longer than normal. I know that we've had our testimonies, and I don't want us to take away from that. I think that's important. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8, the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Heavenly Father, pray tonight that you would communicate to us the importance of starting strong for a new year. Lord, I'm thankful tonight that you are the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Lord, I pray tonight that as we go into this year, we'll go by faith. Lord, we'll walk close to you. And Lord, you'll do something in our life that you've never done before. And Lord, you'll touch our heart for you. Lord, that we will become so in love with you and so committed to you that, Lord, we'll never be the same again. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would just drive within our heart this desire at the beginning of the very first Sunday of the year. And we pray and ask these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I love chapter 11 in Hebrews. It's a special chapter. It's a chapter of faith. It's a chapter all about faith. And as you read down through there, it's by faith, by faith, by faith. And we're introduced to the man who is the example of faith for us. We learned that Abraham was Abram at the time. He was a leader of the nation. And God had to do something very powerful in his life. He was from Ur of the Chaldees. We learned that when we go back in Genesis. And he was with his family for a time until his father Terah left that and went to Haran. And when he stopped in Haran, Terah died. His dad had passed away. And that was a tremendous shock to Abram. At that point in time when he had died, I believe that Abram was a godly man, but it was really at that point when his life changed. You know, something as significant as a death, something as tragic as that which happens in our life can certainly change us. God had to do something for Abram. And so God had called Abram to that he would now pick up the torch and move on into the land that God had told him to go to. I really believe that Abram wasn't totally sure of all that God had in mind, but certainly God had a plan for his life. I marvel the fact that Abraham, which was Abram at that time, recognized that God did have a plan for his life. That God did have something he wanted him to do. Now, it's a strange thing, but in the community here, I run across a lot of people that will say something like this. I've met police officers. I've met firemen. I've talked to politicians. I've even talked to nurses and doctors. I've talked to lawyers. And many of them have said things to me like this. You know, I guess this is what I'm called to do. They're called to be officers. They're called to be firemen. They're called to be lawyers. I'm not sure about that one, but anyway, they're called to be that, if you will. I mean, and they kind of see that as that's their life's purpose. And while it's important that we know what our occupational purposes are and what our design is, it's also equally important that we know what our spiritual purpose is. I mean, really, what is your spiritual purpose? Now, this morning, I challenge you with the purpose of growing. I challenge you with that. But with that growth, I want you to find in this year, if you don't know, what is your spiritual purpose? I believe it's important for every person to know what your purpose is on this earth. What does God want you to do? You say, well, I guess I'm just a computer guy, or I'm just an Air Force guy, or I'm just a military guy, or what, you know, whatever it is. And I think sometimes we kind of have that idea that that's our purpose. Oh, no, I think our purpose is deeper than that. You know, our purpose is not the fact that we, you know, work 50 weeks a year, we have 2 weeks of vacation, we pay taxes to make IRS happy, and that, you know, that we just kind of exist for a job. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is bigger than that. And here's what I find. In following and pursuing God, we find that God's purpose for our life is so rewarding and so fulfilling and so powerfully important that when we find that purpose, we can really be used of God in ways that you will never imagine. Really, to be honest with you, I do not believe that Abraham, later became Abraham, I don't think Abram recognized how powerful the will of God was in his life. All of us read it now and we say, wow, this is very significant. This is powerful. I mean, what happened in Abraham's life touched the entire world. Even to this day, we still go back to Abraham's life. We talk about Ishmael and the Ishmaelites, which are the Arabs, and we go back and we look at some of that and the impact that's had on our world today and what the battles and the wars have been going on all since that time. And what we know about that particular event was that was not God's will for Abraham. He stepped out of the will of God. And because Abraham stepped out of the will of God, it affected our world today, even many hundred years later. Isn't that amazing? But do you realize that for you and your life and your purpose, that your purpose has a powerful influence on the lives of those around you? I don't think we realize that. You know, we kind of think, well, it's just me, you know, I'm just what I am. Do you realize how important what you are is? It's so important that God died on the cross for you. It's so important that God has left you here for a purpose. It's so important that those people who you are influencing, whether it be your family or those you work with or those in your church, I mean, that is a powerful significance. This is not something that we just kind of downplay. That we kind of say, well, you know, I guess it's just, you know, I'm just me and I really don't matter much and all that. You know what? That's kind of a false pride, to be honest with you. And what I mean by false pride is, you know, we're kind of taking it like, you know, well, I guess I'm not much and all of that. Well, you know what? None of us are much. God is everything. We're nothing. But the Bible does say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That God made us for a purpose. And so tonight, I just kind of look at it this way. I don't know about you, but I like a new year. I like a new start. I like a new everything. I like attacking a new year. You know, I'm not one of those kind of like, well, I guess it's just another Monday. I'm like, man, praise God. It's the first Monday of the new year. We're going to go get it. Let's go get it for God. I mean, we have the opportunity that we can make a difference in this new year for God. We have that purpose. We have something that's significant. And whether we are a student in the public school or whether we are a worker at a job site or whether we are a retired person that we're influencing and helping as a volunteer somewhere, or whatever the case is, we have a purpose that God wants to use us. How am I doing tonight? You guys with me? And boy, like as we start off, man, let's start off strong this year. I mean, let's look at Abraham's life and see what was it that made him, that drove him. I mean, what was it that kept him going? And I'm going to tell you, I'm convinced that Abraham recognized that he had a vision. And when I talk about vision, I'm not talking about, you know, he woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't sleep because he had had a hot fudge Sunday. And he walked out and he saw a dog barking at the moon, and the moon turned blue and then turned back to gold again or whatever. I'm not talking about that kind of vision. I'm talking about the vision of what God can do with your life and my life. I'm talking about a God-called vision, that God has a purpose and a plan, that God wants to use us, and that God wants to shape us, and that God wants to grow us to be what he would have us to be. This is where Abraham was. Honestly, when I look at Abraham's life, I'm like, wow. I don't know how he did it. I mean, to me, it'd be hard enough just living in tents, you know? Be hard enough being, you know, kind of taking around all these different things as he traveled around and he sojourned everywhere. But I want to call your attention to verse number 8 with me, please. Notice what the Bible says, that God, we're going to speak of the fact that God is communicating his vision to us. And this communication, this vision comes as God called Abraham. And let me suggest to you this morning, or this afternoon rather, that God has called us to do something for him. That God has called us. That we have the call of God in our life. I will tell you, if a lawyer feels like that he's called to do what he's doing, or an officer feels that way, I believe that God's people ought to recognize that they have a Bible reason to say they're called of God. That we are called to do something for the Lord. Here we find that Abraham had a divine vision. That God said with this vision he had a plan for not just for his family and not just for his nation, but for all of Christianity. God had a plan. You see, it's through the line of Abraham that the Messiah would come. He had that in mind when he called Abraham. He was looking for a man like that. And so God communicated what he wanted him to do by a call. Now, I don't think of a call for us today as the same as what Abraham had. I believe that God audibly spoke to Abraham. I do not believe that God audibly speaks to us. Now, I've had people tell me that they believe that God audibly spoke to them, and I believe that there's scripture to prove that otherwise. The Bible said that God has spoken in the past, in the last days, that God has chosen to speak through his Son. And when we have the Word of God, we have what we call a closed Bible. In other words, God's not giving us additional messages. God gave us one message, and that is the Word of God. In fact, you say, how do you know that? It's taught all throughout Scripture. Let me give you an Old Testament verse. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, you shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God. And what God is saying is that I'm not to add something to God's word. It is complete in itself. If you go to Revelation chapter 22, you'll find at the end, God says that he will put curses on anyone who takes away or adds to his word. And so I have to understand that when Jesus said in John chapter 10 that the scriptures cannot be broken, I have to understand that this Bible that I hold in my hand is complete and it takes care of everything in my life. But I must tell you, there are times when I open up God's word and I read it, that is as if God is speaking to me audibly. In my quiet moments with God, I believe that God's speaking to my heart. I know that when I open up and I read Proverbs, for example, and how it says, son, I believe that I can almost sense that God is there speaking to me as if standing there. Only I don't believe that I would be standing there. I believe I would be prostrate before him. So what I understand is that God calls us, and God impresses within our heart that whatever it is, whatever purpose, that vision that he has for us, that we must understand that he's going to communicate that and call us. And that's why nobody can tell us what God's will is for our lives. I remember that 23 years ago when God called me to come to be the pastor here at Calvary Baptist Church, I had a host of pastors come to my office and point their finger in my face and said, "You are walking out of the will of God by going to Calvary Baptist Church in Fairfield." And I said, "Really?" And I could give you a list of 10 right now. And the strange thing is when they said that, I'm like, "Really? I didn't know that you had now dethroned God and now you're in charge of my life." I'm not sure that, you know, I guess I didn't know that you had now stepped up to one part of the Trinity. "Really? So you know God's will for my life? You really know what God wants me to do? Where you been before? How am I doing? Look, only you and God know what God's will is for your life." And Abraham knew that. Abraham was driven with the call of God on his life. He was a man that recognized that if he's going to serve God and he's going to walk with God, that he was to be concerned about this call, because there's a concern that Abraham had also as the man of God. He had a concern, and that concern was there in verse number 8. If you would, let me call your attention. Let's go back to verse number 8. Notice the Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out," there's the call to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, "obeyed." That's the concern of Abraham. He wanted to obey God. I mean, that was his concern. I mean, really, that's what God wanted for him, was to obey. You know, it wasn't to be successful. It wasn't to have the most beautiful wife in the East, but she was. It wasn't to have the greatest riches, but it was. It wasn't the fact that he would be the father of many nations, but he was. The call of God on Abraham's life was obedience. I mean, he recognized that what he's concerned about was to be obedient to God and let God take care of everything else. I learned a long time ago that what God asked me to do, God did not go and inquire with me if it's okay if he asked me to do it. God simply said, "Do this, and my job is to obey." He knew to obey God was the most important part of pursuing the vision that God had for his life. No person, ever accomplished anything for God until his first concern become to obey God. Let me ask you this. What is your greatest concern today? What is it? Lots of people say, "Well, I'm concerned about the stock markets," or "I'm concerned about the future job market," or "I'm concerned about the economy." You know, it's so weird. Can I tell you something? Stop chasing the money. It's going to fly away anyway. You know, I was getting really excited about gas prices dropping. I like it. I was hoping to get down to like $1 a gallon. Wouldn't it be a blessing? You know? And you know, so, you know, I'm watching the gas prices go down in California. And that's really cool. Gas prices go down in California. I got bad news for you. They got on the news to tell us, guess what? We're having this hidden taxes coming on. It's supposed to start this year. We're going to have 75 cents more tax than anybody else in the whole United States. And it's going to come on us. And I'm like, that stinks. It's terrible, right? And I could get down in the mouth about it and say, "Well, forget it, you know. I'll just move to a cheaper state." You know, I could get like that. But here's the other thing I learned. Obedience is more important than convenience. This is where God wants me. This is it. you know, with taxes going out the window and liberals taking over the place, this is where God wants me. Because my concern, and I think it should be a concern for all of us, is obedience. In fact, can I tell you this? You can move to a place of convenience, but your concern better not be that. It better be obedience. I mean, that's what you need to be concerned about. I mean, am I obeying what God wants for me? If God will for me to be here in California, and I'm here in the Bay Area, I mean, the most conservative part of the United States, right? If this is where God wants me, then maybe I'm to be a voice in the wilderness here, like John the Baptist. Maybe that's what I'm to do. Maybe that's what God's called me to do. And why should I get down the mouth and the molly grubs because everything's not flowing like I think it ought to be so that I can be comfortable and it's convenient for me because God says I'm concerned not so much about your comforts and about your convenience. I'm just concerned that you obey what I ask you to do. I'm sure when Paul was being beaten, I'm sure Paul didn't say, oh, it feels so good. Hit it on the backside here one more time. No, but I will tell you this. Paul in his heart said, man, I'm obeying God. With every stripe was a stripe of obedience to God. In 1 Samuel, these verses have been quoted so much that I dare quote them again, but I will because they're Bible. And Samuel said, "If the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." God says, you can bring all your sacrifices you want to me. You can bring all of your vain oblations. You can bring anything you want. You can lay them all down at the altar. You can say, here's everything, God. And God says, I'm not concerned about your sacrifices. I want your obedience. And Abraham said, that's what I'm concerned about. I want to obey God. Now let me ask you a question. Did he always obey God? Oh no. He didn't always obey God. But at least thank God that he had that desire that he wanted to obey God. And tonight, I can tell you this, every one of us, that needs to be our desire of our heart. If we're going to make 2015 a year that we're going to start strong and we're going to stay strong, it's going to take obedience to God. I mean, grab a hold of the will of God for your life and your vision and what God wants for you and let that become the focus of what you do this year. Now, how do we do that? Well, I believe that God gives us the application of the vision through Abraham's life. We see here that Abraham had a mandate and that was faith. Let me take you back to verse 6, please. Go back to verse 6. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to what? Please him. So here's what God says. God says, if you want to obey me, you're going to have to obey me in faith. Now, that's not easy. Now, it's easy for me to obey God when I can see everything. You know, when you see everything, then it's easy. So, you know, we like to do that, and it's true that we would rather walk by sight than by faith. I mean, I like that. You know, I mean, if I can see the whole runway, and I can see what's down the horizon, and what's way out in the front, and I can see it all, then it's very easy for me to obey. It's just when I can't see anything, it's hard to obey. I guess, what, just a few days before Christmas, we had these major fog set in. I hate fog. It's terrible. You know, you look out in the backyard, and there's fog. It's so funny, because I went to go let out one of our dogs, and he looked out in the backyard. He couldn't see anything. Turned and looked at me like, are you kidding me? And I said, go out, man. You're a dog, you know. And he looked at me like, are you kidding? He walked outside and turned around and came and stood at the door and just looked at me. It's like, it's nothing but fog. Now, generally, you want to go out and, you know, jump out in the backyard and do all the things that he does. But when he saw the fog, it was just, it was almost blinding to him. And I think that's how we are oftentimes. You know, we're blinded to the things because we don't like it, because we can't see the whole picture. And so we make decisions based on the whole picture, not based on what we cannot see. But God says that's what pleases God the most, is to walk by faith. And what God was saying to him, in fact, twice we find that faith is mentioned in connection to Abraham and in the totality of everything that he was to do, because Abraham didn't have a GPS system. He didn't have all the things that we're accustomed to. He had no maps. He didn't have any of those things. He had no restaurants. He had nothing but God. By the way, isn't that a good place to be? Have nothing but God. Sometimes I think God takes all our props away so that we realize how much we do have with God. A vision will require faith. We saw the near completion of the parking lot. We still have a few more things with the city. But thank God for that parking lot. A couple people here this morning hadn't been here in a year or two. And they said to me, man, the parking lot looks really good. Praise the Lord. That's by faith we complete that parking lot together as a church. Reaching this community is going to take faith. I don't even know how it's going to happen. But God does. I mean, all of it, all of that is involved in our faith and finding the vision that God has and doing what God says. That's applying it. We walk by faith. That's our mandate. But secondly, I want you to notice that the movement is that he went out. I made a statement at the beginning of the service. I said, hey, I found out that the community doesn't come to you. You need to go to the community. And I think sometimes we get the idea that all we're supposed to do is sit around and pray and, you know, hold hands and sing kumbaya. But really, we need to go out. Jesus said, go. I mean, we have to get out. We have to move forward. We have to engage ourselves, if you would. And I've touched on some of this morning, I know. But what God is saying is that if he's going to, as he gives us a vision, the vision is always a forward vision. It's never a backward vision. But there's a word of caution. Do not confuse activity with spirituality. That's a word of caution. Lots of people become real active, you know. Okay, so that means I must get really busy. So I'll have bowling on Monday night. I'll have, this on Tuesday night. Wednesday night, I'll try to come to church if I don't have something else going on. And then Thursday, I got this. And Friday night, I got that. And then Saturday, I'm just tired thinking about it. We all get busy, don't we? But don't confuse activity with spirituality. Sometimes I think churches are like that. You know, churches, we could run our people to death. But God says we must make sure that our movement is always forward for God. He went out. That's what it means. Go out. Go out and touch this world with your life. Your purpose, I'm going to put it to you generally, and I know that your purpose may be that of being an insurance adjuster or you know, flying an airplane or working in the medical field or whatever. I understand all of that. I know that. I'm very well aware of that. But I'm going to give you a general purpose. Our general purpose is to bring glory to God and influence this world for Jesus Christ. That's what all of us are to do. We're to go out. Let me give the third and last consideration. There's a dedication to the vision. A dedication. That's to your vision and mine. The dedication involves a sacrifice. All of us have sacrificed in the past. No doubt about it. Abraham had to be willing to leave the conveniences of his home and go to a place he did not know where he was going. That'd be really weird. Can you imagine what Abraham must have told Sarah? Came home and said, Sarah, we're leaving. She said, where we're going? He said, I don't know. So what? I don't know. Well, how are we going to get there? I don't know that either. How are we going to eat? Don't know. Well, boy, Abraham, you got a lot of nerve to ask me to do something you don't know anything about. I know, but that's what God asked me to do. Really? Seriously? You mean that you want me to go with you and take the kids? Not yet. But you want me to traipse around the desert? If we do have kids, you want me to traipse around a desert? I mean, there's no McDonald's yet. Where's the Holiday Inns? We don't have GPSs yet. You want me to traipse around the desert, going to a place you don't know where you're going? You don't know how we're going to get there. You don't even know what's going to happen when we do get there, if we ever know where we're going. That's what you're saying, Abraham? And he goes, uh-huh. Wow. How many of you ladies would agree that was a huge sacrifice for Sarah to do something like that? Wow. I mean, it's bad enough when, if you're in the military and your husband tells you, oh, by the way, we're moving to Iceland. Really? What is Iceland? You know, just one big block of ice. That's where we're moving to. Well, that's a hard set. But at least there's a town there, I think. And there are people there, sparsely, but there are people there. But Abraham's going to a place he doesn't know where he's going. And Sarah has to be willing to sacrifice with Abraham. Wow, what a powerful thought. No sacrifice for God is ever too great. Nothing that God would ask us to do is ever too great. In fact, can I tell you this? That Abraham understood about the sacrifice when God gave him his only son and then asked him to give that son up. He understood then and there what that sacrifice meant. Here's what it meant: that God was more important to him than his things. That's the sacrifice. He was dedicated to the vision because of his sacrifice, but second of all, his singleness. And I really believe the singleness refers to his focus. What am I doing? I'm looking for that place. What place? I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Wow. What kind of place is that? See, that's a spiritual city. By the way, when we get to heaven, is it going to be wonderful to see that builder, those foundations in that city, and see who built that city and see Jesus Christ when we get there? It's going to be wonderful. Jay and I were talking the other day. Janet goes, you know, I've heard people say something like, when you get to heaven, that they're all going to be, that they're watching us, you know, and we've talked about this a lot. You know, I don't think when we get to heaven, we're going to be sitting down there watching what's going on earth. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be focused on Jesus. I just want to see him. In fact, I'm not going to even care about the streets of gold. I'm sure I'll be impressed when I get there. But it's when I get to the Lamb of God and see him in his fullness, in his glory, because the Bible says in his presence are pleasures forevermore. There's no pleasure in this planet or in heaven above that's greater than the throne of Almighty God. Wow, it's going to be an amazing. And Abraham said, that's my single devotion. That's what I want. I want to focus on the eternal. The problem with us today is we're not focusing on the eternal. We're focused on the temporal. But then, one more thought. His sight, verse 10, his eye was on that future city. It was that eternal perspective that Abraham had. That's where his eye was. That's where he focused. He said, man, I'm looking forward to that city whose builder and maker is God. That's what I want. By the way, Abraham represented the spiritual heritage that we have through Jesus Christ. Powerful thought. I want to ask you this. As you start this year, will you attack this year with all you got? I mean, will you just give it all you got? I know sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't have a whole lot. Just Well, that's okay. Whatever we have, let's give it to God. I'm challenging us to do it. Let's give what we got to God. And let's see what God does for us this year. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't even know what next week's going to be holding. I mean, wouldn't it be awful if something as terrible as the rapture come next week? That'd be great, wouldn't it? They can have the taxes and the houses and all the pains and sorrows. We're going to go up and be with Jesus. That'd be great. But until then, more about Jesus, what I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. That's really one I want us to look at this year. Oh, I'll tell you, we serve a wonderful Savior. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, the truth of the matter is, Jesus definitely does get better and sweeter every day. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And I'm going to tell you this, every day without Jesus is more bitter than the day before. May God help us to really get this purpose, this vision that he has for us. And may we do that and honor him this year. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray we'll start strong. And Lord, we'll keep strong by God's grace. Lord, we just want to do your will. And I believe we have a great group of people here that really do love you.